Welcome to episode 12 of Hosted Payload from the Wiley Law Firm in Washington, D.C. I'm Henry Gola. Comedic actors in serious roles tend to pique our interest. Some of these movies are good, even great, like Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and some are not good, even terrible, like Jim Carrey in The Number 23. What side of the ledger does the new Netflix Adam Sandler movie Spaceman fall? Mike Carlson of Amazon Kuiper, Hosted Payload's first return guest, joins me to discuss. Plus, the FCC has followed through with new rules to connect cell phones to satellites. Chloe Hawker breaks it all down in the Orbital Debrief. A lot of firsts on this episode of Hosted Payload. It's the first time we're talking about a movie the same weekend it debuted, and it's the first time we have a return guest, Mike Carlson from Amazon Kuiper. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. After my first performance, I didn't think I'd ever be invited back, so I appreciate it.
Oh, come on. You were on the debut episode. So we've lived and learned a lot since then, and this one's going to be even better than that great debut. So Friday, Netflix debuted Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler as Jakub, a Czech astronaut flying a solo mission to a mysterious cloud near Jupiter. Suffering from a lack of sleep and desperate loneliness, Jakub is visited by Hanush, an extraterrestrial spider voiced by Paul Dano. Together, they try to distantly repair Jakub's relationship with his wife Lenka, played by Carey Mulligan. Johan Renck directs. Mike, for the 2024 movie Spaceman, petition to deny or comments in support?
Petition to deny. I'm sorry to say it, and I don't want to say anything too negative about the movie, because I worry that I just wasn't, maybe I missed something or didn't get it, or, you know, went to go get a glass of water and some key plot point was lost on me. But petition to deny.
I'm so happy you said that, because I hated this movie, and I look forward to talking to you about why you did not like this movie, or why petition to deny.
Well, I was hoping that you would like the movie, to be honest, because I thought I would have loved to have heard the case for why it was good. And I can see, like, in the beginning of the movie, the first 5 or 10 minutes, I was thinking this is setting up to be actually like a really, maybe even terrific movie. Like, all the key ingredients, you know, kind of being in space, kind of getting greater perspective on life and relationships back on Earth, this, and then the spider, and even like the set is this sort of like kind of janky old fashioned 90s looking space mobile that is somehow making it to Jupiter. And so it felt like kind of very, very deliberately campy about a lot of those elements. And I thought, okay, it's like a Kafka-esque, like they're driving this discussion about the bigger picture. And I was like, I'm ready for that. And then it just never delivered. I won't launch into my whole speech about what happened in the Chopper cloud yet.
Well, but, I mean, a spoiler alert, we're going to talk about plot points in the movie if you haven't seen it yet, but, you know, based on our initial take, maybe people won't see it. But so that good question there. Did you think this movie takes place in the past, in the future, alternate reality? I mean, we're talking about the Czech space program being tailed by the South Korean space program. So alternate reality, at least, or maybe the future. What did you think?
Yeah, I think alternate reality. And I think, like, at first I was kind of troubled by a lot, like how much of that was not explained, like why this race to this. So the Chopper cloud is this formation that is beyond Jupiter. And it's apparently critical to mankind that it's investigated, never really explain why. And the race to investigate it, as you said, is like it's neck and neck between the Czech space program and the South Korean space program. Again, not explained at all. And then he's able to get there in, I think, 186 days in a vehicle that looks like a, I don't know, like a Nintendo / DeLorean. not explained at all. And I was fine with all of that because I thought, you know what? They're making clear by not explaining any of this, that this is a movie about, you know, life and
right.
Everything is just a vehicle for that. And so it was kind of deliberately campy. So I didn't mind it, but then the discussion about life was really disappointing in my opinion. But then I thought maybe I'm a monster for not.
No. Let me give you my thoughts on this is that, you know, it seemed to bite off more than it can chew. That's what I thought at first, because, you know, the spider says, oh, this cloud is the beginning and the end. It has everything. So it's really a setting up to be this, like, something very deep. And then he gets there, and I feel like the main character, and by extension the director, has to be such a narcissist that the only thing he sees in the beginning is himself. It's his birth. It's his life. There's nothing about humanity. That's not the beginning and the end. That's this guy's beginning and end. So, like, it was such a disappointment in that respect. What did you think?
I feel like – I don't know if we're rushing to get to the Chopra cloud here, but I agree with
we're not rushing. We could talk about the journey to the cloud if you'd like, but let's go straight to the cloud.
The moment where I was – the first 10 minutes, I was like, I would have turned this off and watched a murder documentary immediately, but I knew that the podcast was coming and I had to watch. And so I was sort of dread. And then the spider appears and he said something like, this spider kind of spits out aphorisms, wisdom about life. And he's counseling this guy, Jakob, about his relationship with his wife. So Jakob has a bad relationship with his wife. His wife has dumped him unbeknownst to Jakob because the Czech space agency won't deliver the message, but Jakob sort of senses something is wrong with his relationship with his wife. And so the spider helps him examine that. And if it sounds weird, it is, but the spider said something like, the spider calls Jakob skinny human, which is another weird thing.
Yes.
But he says, skinny human, you draw too many boundaries. Perhaps this is why you're so lonely. And at that point I was like, okay, maybe this spider, you know, has something to say. I'm ready to hear it. But then the whole next 60 minutes, I would say, were like disconnected discussions with ethereal music kind of playing in the background to kind of make them seem poignant. But it was really like one meaningless thing after the other. And then you start to think, okay, but they keep promising that like the key is in this Chopra cloud. So you're kind of waiting.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm ready to, I mean, make me cry. Like, show me something in this cloud that makes this all worth it. And they get to the cloud. And yeah, like you said, it was like this BS mysticism about the beginning and the end. And we're all vibrations. And then a bunch of images of Jakob. I could go on for, I've been stewing about this.
So is the spider real? Do you think, or is he imagining it? I mean, I think the obvious thing is that he's imagining it, right? I can't imagine this is a real extraterrestrial who crashes his ship, right? I mean, or do you think something different?
I think they give you some hints that the spider might not be real. Like if you remember, the spider first appears after Jakob takes some sleeping pills or sleeping. I don't know. Goop.
Yeah. Sleeping potion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drops. Which is, yeah.
Again, like kind of a interesting kind of, I guess, Kafka like device that is, you know, is this all a big dream? And maybe it doesn't matter because it's the real story is about Jakob examining his life. But I kind of think that the spider was not real.
I think so too. And I do want to go back to like this examination and like how shallow it seemed to me. It seemed very simple. Look, relationships are hard. Life is hard. There's a reason like therapy goes on for most people for like decades, right? You don't cure something in one session by self-examination and everything's okay. I had no feeling at the end of this movie after he sees his life with his wife Lenka that he's going to come back and be a better person. I just think he made himself feel better, and then he gets that, and then that's the end of the movie. Like, I don't think he's a better person at the end. I think he just I think he's satisfied himself that he's going to try to be better, at least for the next week, right?
100%. No, okay. So the relationship with Lenka again. Okay, so from the very beginning, like, it starts out with her kind of sending him a Dear John letter while he's in space, which,
right.
So you're not feeling great about Lenka right off the bat, but there's also this huge 20-year age difference between the actors. So there's that aspect of the relationship, which is, fine, but, like, it just makes it, there's not a lot of chemistry between them, and you have a hard time kind of believing the relationship. But she does leave him while pregnant, and then he has this sort of revelation about how he's been. And he basically called her and said, sorry, I'll be different. And that seemed to be enough, but that was it. And then she forgave him, which made me think that, was she so upset with him to begin with? And, so there was a lot of problems there. I mean, without that kind of element working, or you caring about that relationship, there's not a lot to care about in the whole movie. And then, sorry, one last thing on that. The problem was he was so focused on his career that he was neglecting his relationship with his wife.
Right.
I think. Which, so I thought, okay, maybe we're going to explore that, what it takes to be great, the sacrifices you make in your personal life, like Whiplash or something. And, but then the fact is he says he's going to be different, but the whole goal of his life was to sort of reach deep space and be this hero, which he had accomplished. So, like, it's not clear that he was giving anything up or was penitent at all, grabbed the brass ring and said, sorry, and all was forgiven. And so you kind of are like, what happened there?
But, right. Yeah. Right. He still reaches his goal. I mean, it's a common theme in these movies where folks go to space and they leave loved ones behind. And how do the loved ones cope with the astronauts being in space alone? And how do the astronauts cope with being in space away from their loved ones? That's a tried and true theme in many space movies. This was the first one where, the justification wasn't really the greater good or sacrifice. And, like, it's hard, but we're going to get through this. Like, it's not even really mentioned. It's really just kind of... I don't know. Like, it was, I think there needed to be more exposition on the Jakob character. Cause I agree with you, when he first meets Lenka, I don't know why Lenka likes him. He doesn't say anything. There's nothing to him. There's no drive. We don't see any drive. All we see is that these flashbacks to his father treated him bad. And then all of a sudden he becomes an astronaut, right? There's none of the buildup for why for this drive that made him be the astronaut for the Czech Republic, right? So I don't know. I just had a lot of problems. I had a lot of problems with the development and the character development. And, I'm going on and on now too. But then, let me ask you, what did you think of Adam Sandler's performance?
Not bad, I guess. Like, well, okay. If I do have one major complaint, I mean, in terms of, like, I think he's a great dramatic actor. Obviously, I like his comedies too, like Happy Gilmore and stuff. But the more serious stuff that he's done, I really enjoy. He really knows how to play sort of a depressed, somber character. I would say the accent was strange because it was like he decided he wasn't going to do a strong kind of Czech accent,
right?
But he sort of slipped in and out of it. And so sometimes he almost sounded like a Czech Happy Gilmore.
Yes. Well, when Hanush the spider goes outside the ship at one point, he yells, Hanush! And it sounds like Billy Madison is yelling at Hanush the spider.
There was one, I wrote one of the quotes, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want to impersonate the accent. But he said something like, before the critical stage of the mission, and I felt like... critical stage was said with a strong Czech accent and the rest was happy. And then his clothes, like if you see paparazzi photos or whatever of Adam Sandler walking around New York, he has like this famous style of like very baggy, like basketball.
Yes.
Like clothes. And that was exactly what he looked like in the movie. He looked like the same kind of shalala.
He looked like he showed up on set wearing what he was wearing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So he started, and he was wearing shorts from, they looked like Cleveland Cavalier shorts. So mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if there's like a reason why a Czech astronaut would be wearing Cleveland Cavalier shorts. And so this is how good the movie was. I was looking up to see if there were any Czech players on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And are there?
The only one I could find was the great Jiří Welch, who played one season in 2005 for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, very memorable.
Yeah. So maybe there's a homage to Jiří Welch.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in some good movies where he's playing serious characters. You know, I thought Uncut Gems he was really good in. I liked Funny People, if you call that. I mean, hey, that was a dark comedy, I'd say. You know, and he did some others as well. So if you could insert the actual Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore character into this movie, who would you pick?
Oh, between Billy Madison.
Just between those two, given that he seemed to channel both of them.
Gosh, probably Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore, I feel like, had a little more emotional depth. I felt like it would have been good. There were some parts of the movie that were so obviously comedic, or could have been.
Right.
Like the fact that there was a scene where he hugs this big furry spider and this, you know, Janusz. And then the next morning, I think he brings Janusz some Nutella, like, you know, he's in the bath towel or something, and they eat it together. And it's just like, there's parts that are just so weird that you want to laugh, but it's so somber. And there's like the Max Richter kind of soundtrack playing the entire time. It's like, what is this? I should be laughing, but I'm not.
I know. I mean, look, the Carey Mulligan character is obviously way more interesting than Jakob, right? Like, Lenka is developed a little bit more. And look, Carey Mulligan is like a 3-time Oscar nominee. She's nominated this year for Best Actress. She's legit. I think, you know, it's hard not to think, like, would this movie have been better had she been the one in space and Sandler is on Earth, right? Kind of playing the mopey, depressed guy on Earth, and she can kind of like emote a little more in space. I mean, maybe that makes it more interesting, but I think they were both kind of trapped in just a movie that was not very good. That's kind of my takeaway. I think their performances were fine. I don't think Sandler did anything wrong. I don't think he had a lot to work with here with the script.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, again, not in the movie business, and certainly I couldn't make a movie that good, but that's a low bar. I think that it just had all the ingredients of an absolute masterpiece in terms of like the actors and even the setup. I was like, the architecture of the movie, like the space that is, am I dreaming kind of spider, and then the reflection on life, and then the answer, and like a big cloud in the sky. Like I was like, this could be really a profound movie. And it was just not. I was like, it was 1 hour and 48 minutes long, and I felt like I learned absolutely nothing, and I wish I would have been doing something else.
Yes, I agree. It was 1 hour and 48 minutes long, and I was very happy that there were 8 minutes of credits, that it ended like 8 minutes. I was like, oh, terrific. It's over. This is it. Great. Yeah. That's a good feeling when you're watching a movie. Why is it called the Chopra Cloud? Should we attach any meaning to that? Did you do any research on that?
I did a little bit of research, and I'm ashamed to say I have not read any Deepak Chopra. And I thought maybe that was what it was, because maybe there's some mysticism or meaning that somehow
that's what I was thinking as well. I haven't read any Deepak Chopra as well. I mean, I'm familiar, you know, at a very high level with his sort of his teachings, I guess, and what they're supposed to mean. But I don't know. I'm not in a rush to read anything now if that's supposed to be some sort of symbolism for what he's writing.
I'm not gonna assume anything about his work based on this. But and maybe it would have made more sense. But like the we're all vibrations, and the beginning and the end are connected. I just was just totally unsatisfied, and I don't see why that led him to be a changed person. I mean, I get like the general sentiment of you know, nobody loves or misses their wife and kids more than when they're on a work vacation, right? Or a work trip, you know,
right.
Like when you're sitting at a hotel in Seattle, you know, you feel probably a little bit more affection for your kids than when you're like around the dinner table and everyone's screaming at you. That's true. And I think in space, you know, you multiply that by 1,000.
Right.
And so that emotional driver I could sort of get, but that whatever was happening in the cloud, you know, it just made no sense to me. But we should get maybe there's a philosopher at Wiley who can help us out. I mean, maybe we're just two Neanderthals who aren't getting it.
Maybe. All right. Last point on this. What did you think of the when they wanted to go back to him in space live on TV on Czech TV, and they use a recording of Jakub rather than just admitting that they're having trouble with the communications? Any thoughts on that?
I had two thoughts, I guess. The one was, you know, I could see why they did it. Obviously they have this already in case there's any problem with the mission. I thought that maybe there seemed to be an element of, okay, they have him seeming very upbeat about to go under the Chopra cloud. And then his wife sees the clip and she's like, she had just gotten the big apology call from him where he was so sorry for the way he had acted. And then they play this clip of him very upbeat and ready to go into the, so maybe that was the, it created some tension with his wife in some way. I don't know. But then, you know, he's so deadpan through the whole movie. He didn't seem like so chipper, I guess, in the clip. But the whole communication with, he says at one point, you know, we've got this Czech Connect, which is the phone service, I guess, that he uses to go back to Earth.
Like a FaceTime, basically.
Yeah, Czech Connect, and we can connect at the speed of light. But the speed of light from Jupiter would have like a little more latency than their.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Okay. Anything else that we missed that you wanted to discuss about this movie we both intensely disliked?
Let me just quickly make sure I'm not missing anything. No, we hit the acid trip through the purple cloud, the Henoosh eating Nutella, the Cavalier shorts. I think we hit everything on this one, Henry and I. And you know what? I would have been angry with you for making me watch it, but we both watched it when it came out, so you didn't know what you were subjecting me to. And
No, that would have been cruel and unusual, I think, if I subjected you to that. So. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for joining Hosted Payload again. Hopefully on your third return visit in 2025 or 2026, we pick a movie we both enjoy.
All right, absolutely. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks, Mike. It's time for the orbital debrief, which means it's time to bring in Chloe Hawker. Chloe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Henry?
Good. It's March. It means we have the winter-spring delineation here. What's your favorite between those two, winter
between
or spring?
Between winter and spring, I think I have to go with spring. I like seeing things start living again.
Yeah. Does anybody go with winter? I think some people must, right?
I think people do. Some people are cold weather people. Not me.
I guess. Yeah, no, not me either. I'm ready for spring. So the FCC's draft rules are out connecting cell phones to satellites and wireless frequency bands. What are the three big takeaways our listeners need to know?
Sure. So first, there's entry criteria. The draft order designates only certain wireless spectrum bands as eligible for the framework. And these bands would get a secondary allocation for mobile satellite service, but that would be limited to SCS use. The draft order also specifies that SCS will only be available where one terrestrial licensee or several terrestrial licensees working jointly with a satellite provider hold all relevant co-channel licenses throughout a geographically independent area, or GIA.
Okay, GIA. I like that. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard the acronym spelled.
Have people said GIA? I never know how to do
it. GIA. The GIA. GIA, though. I like it, though. So how does the GIA or GIA requirement affect operators?
The proposal was pretty controversial in the comments that operators submitted to the NPRM because one of the GIAs is the entirety of the continental U.S. So only where a satellite operator can partner with terrestrial licensees who hold all the relevant co-channel licenses across the continental U.S. can they provide SCS service. And as you can imagine, there was some disagreement on this point.
Sure.
The draft order does say it will process applications that don't meet the entry criteria under a case-by-case approach, but it doesn't provide much detail on that process.
All right. That's first. What are the other two things we should be looking out for here?
So second, the draft order changed course from the NPRM and will not require mobile devices like smartphones to apply for Earth Station licenses from the FCC to take part in this framework. Instead, the draft order creates a license by rule framework where any devices that meet all of the SCS criteria and are operating pursuant to their equipment authorization will be licensed under the new rules without further action from operators.
Well, that sounds like it'll definitely streamline the amount of paperwork involved in becoming an SCS provider, always a good thing. But if terrestrial providers don't need to apply for Earth Station licensing, what do they need to do to take advantage of the framework?
Right. That is the third thing. Under the draft order, terrestrial licensees would have to enter into Part 1 spectrum leasing agreements with the satellite operators who want to provide SCS on their networks. These agreements can be either spectrum manager leases or de facto transfer leases. The licensees would need to file these leases with the FCC, and the satellite operators would need to reference these leases in their Part 25 satellite applications to provide SCS services in the relevant frequencies.
That's a mouthful, but thank you for that. Plenty to digest in the draft SCS report and order. What are the next steps?
So the FCC's sunshine period ends Thursday, March 7th, after which parties can no longer meet with the agency about the draft. A week later, on March 14th, the FCC will vote on the item at its open meeting. Then the FCC will release the final report and order, assuming that they vote in favor of it, and the new rules will go into effect after publication in the Federal Register. Oh, and there's also a brief further notice of proposed rulemaking.
All right. Well, we'll be on the lookout. Thanks, Chloe, for the latest in the Orbital Debrief.
Yeah, my pleasure, Henry. Thank you.
Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of Hosted Payload more than we enjoyed the movie Spaceman. Thanks to Mike Carlson of Amazon Kuiper for joining, and thanks as always to Chloe Hawker for the Orbital Debrief. For all your space and satellite law needs, visit us at wiley.law. I'm Henry Gola.